Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to The Stack. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And new year, new comics. It is January 1st, but new comics are still coming out. We are live. We did it.
We're recording this at exactly as the ball. 3, 2, guys, ready? One.
Hey!
Happy new comics.
Happy new comics year. It's so crazy. I'm still putting 2024 on all of my comics. I've been doing that.
Where
all
you
year.
Label your comics?
No, I go into the shop and I, with a Sharpie, I draw 2024 and all the comics and still doing it.
Let me ask you:
is that
a filing choice, or are you worried you're forgetting what year it is? What's the
trying to get kicked out of the comic book store choice? Hasn't happened yet because they really need my business.
Wow. A dark message.
Abusing
from Alex.
Well, anyway, it is going to be
a nightmare at the comic book shop, says Alex.
Very light new comic book day. There's plenty of stuff coming out from Marvel and DC, but not a lot from other publishers. There still is, but we are concentrating mostly on the Marvel DC with one Boom title. So why don't we jump into it? Kick it off with a big release for the new year. Best thing to talk about, Justice League. The Adam, did you think I said Justin for a second, Justin?
I did. I really did.
The Justin League.
Huh? Me?
Oh, the Justin League. Sick.
Cool.
Sick.
Justin League title, Unlimited. Bro. Justice League, The Adam Project, number one from DC Comics, written by Ryan Parrott and John Ridley, art by Mike Perkins. And so this is spinning out of, we've got a lot of mentions already of The Adam Project in various titles. Finally, we get to see what it is. It's Ray Palmer and Ryan Choi. They're trying to get control of and figure out what's going on with all the wild powers that were less loose at the end of Absolute Power, and specifically they're using Captain Atom as Patient Zero. Over the course of the book, we kind of jump back and forward in time with some big twists and surprising reveals. I thought this was great. I thought this was a really good kickoff with some really nice, nuanced character stuff. You can see sort of like the big, fun, action-y ideas coming from Ryan Parrott, the deeper stuff coming from John Ridley, and then Mike Perkins. Such an interesting choice for this title in terms of
the
art. He usually goes for much darker material, but it becomes clear by the end this is like a fugitive-style spy thriller, so it actually fits really nicely.
Now, obviously, Alex is the original Parrott head, Ryan Parrott fan, because of his image work. Or his,
Rogue Son, baby.
Rogue Son, yep. Yeah. So, Pete, give us the non-Parrott head take on
oh,
this.
Thanks, man. I appreciate the tee up. Yeah, I like the start of this.
I'm sorry. I just want to clarify, though. Pete does a show called Perk Up with Perkins, where he wakes up every morning and looks at Mike Perkins comic. So.
And I'm about to release my John Ridley podcast, Ridley Me This, where we break down his work.
What's sick about the Perky podcast is we have it every morning at Perkins, so we do it right. You know what I mean? That perk on perk.
How hard is it to go to get to an open Perkins?
It's tough. You got to call ahead. You got to call ahead. And they're
I don't mean it's busy. I mean they're all closed.
That's what I mean.
Is there
you
got to
call
the
and make sure it's still open, because otherwise you're going to get there and be
we
disappointed.
We closed 20 years ago.
Nope. I'm dead. I'm a ghost. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Pete.
I'm a ghost who haunts Perkins, so I fucked up in my life.
I don't know, man. That seems like if you're going to haunt a place, you know what I mean?
Where would you want to haunt? A restaurant? You want to haunt a chain?
Yeah. Honestly, I would rather...
Eggs, you know what I mean, while you're haunting?
But would you rather haunt a Perkins or like a Panera?
Panera.
Come on.
What soulless motherfuckers
maybe you could go
Panera.
Back in time to when you could smoke in Perkins. You'd be a ghost just smoking in Perkins, having some eggs. I mean, those were the days.
I drank too many Jolt lemonades or whatever, the caffeine killer caffeine juice they were selling for a while, and I died in this Panera.
Pete, what did you think about this book?
What I was trying to say, I like the start of this, the way they kind of had this kind of espionage chase down, kind of trying to find, you know, the nuclear man here. So I thought this was great and a great launch to something. Art style was cool, but it had this kind of creepy tint to it. But yeah, really impressive. Like the whole vibe of this. So excited about this.
A couple things for me. I also really enjoyed this. I agree the action's really nice, and it has that feel because of the Mike Perkins art of an older type of comic, a comic that isn't as done anymore in the superhero world where there's a little bit of a mystery. It's tied heavily to continuity, but there's a real drive to it. Captain Atom has been like DC's big jerk for a while. Like, I don't know why he is such a, but he, and in this, it's like, he's trying to help, but he is also not. So I don't know why he's such a target. I feel like he's the DC's Nico, where
you've
like,
I was going to say
the Cyclops, maybe the Cyclops of,
Nico's in so many books. I'm like,
she's
cool.
Like 1.5 books. That's it. No, that's the whole
popping
thing.
Up like in this new Spider-Man animated series.
Nico.
I'm just saying,
we need
there's
more
a,
Nico.
These are hot characters. Captain Atom.
And I'll just
Nico
mention Captain Atom is in also 2 titles. But go ahead.
That feels like a lot. It feels like a lot.
Yeah. Have you heard about a guy named Batman? He's in a couple of books as well.
Yeah. Not no, but he's like he's just always around. He's like when you're driving through your town, you're like, of course, there's a Perkins here. It's like Batman is Perkins is the Batman of fast casual restaurants.
Say less, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Please, somebody, you should have told me that 5 minutes ago. But I am saying I do really enjoy this. And it's nice that they're actually paying off this idea they introduced months ago that the everyone's powers are messed up and are shifting around. It feels like a big meatball they put out there and they were like, but don't worry about it. I was like, I am worried about this. And at least me and the Adams, both captains and regulars, are out there fighting the good fight.
You said it, man. It's like a big meatball just out there, you know? It's just a big meatball out there, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's your choice to pick it up and eat it or read it. I'm not sure which, but get involved.
I'm sorry to
man.
Move this along, but I got to wrap up the podcast so I can check on my meatball. So why don't we move to the next title, The Ultimates, number 8 from Marvel, written by Dennis Kemp, art by Juan Fregeri. And this issue, bringing on the Ultimate Guardians of the Galaxy. And spoiler warning here, though I think this is out there in terms of the information. This isn't the Guardians of the Galaxy you know. It's beyond changed from an Ultimates version where they're from the 61st century, coming back in time to try to save America Chavez, who instead is maybe not so into going back with them. This is a big mythology issue. There's a lot of character stuff set up. But most importantly, Pete has a question.
Well, I was just wondering, guys, do you think it's a little too confusing? You know what I mean? Like, because it's like, oh, sick. That nope, not the Guardian. No, oh no.
No.
Oh,
do you know why? Do you know why this isn't confusing? Is because this, to me, and I don't say this dismissively, is not a Marvel book. This is a Legion of Superheroes book, and this is exactly what happens to them every single time there's a crisis. There's a time wave, and they're like, oh no, something has gone wrong in 1994, and we have to go back and save our time period, and then they get rebooted. So we are getting like little bit of riffs on those sort of characters, but it felt very comfortable to me in that mode.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Protect the 90s at all costs. You know what I mean? I'm for sure
down with
that.
I'm just trying to think of when there were crossovers, which I could have also said 2024. Does that make it easier?
Yeah, it does. It makes it a little easier. I thought this was amazing art, but I was just like a little confused because I want to enjoy it. You know what I mean? But it just sometimes.
I will say to your point, this is Dennis Kemp in like big science fiction mode, which he goes into sometimes, which is very like, it's very Jonathan Hickman-y. It's very Grant Morrison-y, where it's. I don't know. It's like a lot of Star Trek gobbledygook where it's like we got to reverse the upside down, inside out dilithium crystals type things. So I get where you're coming from, Pete, but that's part and parcel of the package. I'm guessing, Justin, you've been in the tag for every issue of this book, so you love this.
He's when this is in the stack, that, I'm like, let's go Dennis
camping. He's in
Dennis's
camp.
I'm in the Dennis camp, and it's a fun camp. There's a lot of ideas in this camp.
We Do you get bug juice?
We don't roast marshmallows. We roast 30th century sentient cockroaches, and they taste amazing. this, I agree with you. This book is a perfect halfway point between Hickman and Grant Morrison, I feel like, where it's got the superstructure, Hickman-esque continuity, sort of tinkering and building up a framework, and Grant Morrison's just wild idea swings. And it's, I love that. I love that sort of middle ground between those two creators. And the backstory here is great. I think America's going to be a great character. I love this Guardians. You said Legion. Def, I think that's a good ref. But this reminds me of the original Guardians of the Galaxy a lot more, where, and we get a little shot of them in here, who are like Martin X and Charlie 13 and those like random characters that we don't ever hear from anymore once, now that the Star-Lord base Guardians are de rigueur, as they say. So,
oh, wow.
Shouts to myself. I love this. I love myself. This. That's it.
Yeah, so I give a shout to myself real quick
for saying de rigueur.
I think I like the issues of this title that focus a little more on societal issues, as I've said almost every time. But I do like the big ideas here. And I also like that we dialed down the pace a little bit to focus on the relationship between America Chavez and Captain Marvel. There's also some stuff going on with Doom and Tony Stark that I thought was interesting. So it definitely
talking about floating head Doom or real Doom?
I thought that was very fun. The Doom ball that is floating along with him. Fun times.
Cool.
Great. All right. Why don't we talk about Absolute Superman number 3 from DC Comics, written by Jason Aaron, art by Rafa Sandoval. In this issue, we are headed almost fully back in time to the destruction of Krypton to delve more into the relationship of Kal-El, who is, I don't know, 8, 9, something like that. And his parents are still alive. That's part of this rebooted continuity. I thought this was the best issue so far.
So,
Emotion was fantastic. The art was absolutely fantastic. The vistas of Krypton. There's some incredible action stuff in here. But, man, just the relationship between Kal-El, I was about to say Clark, but Kal-El and his parents, I thought was so good and so strong. Beyond the fact that Jason Aaron, like, he teased this a little bit in the previous issues where they went in on AI a little bit. He goes even harder in this issue, mix it with the title's overall take on how corporations and governments are suppressing information about climate change, which is another big, very present idea that he's dealing with here. I thought this was a smart, really, really well done issue.
I feel like this issue gets to the essential premise that Jason Aaron is operating from, that in all every Superman story, it's like Kal-El first, and he puts on Clark to hide, essentially. And this flips it. I think this issue in this book is saying he actually is Clark. He is this reporter. He is someone who is shy, caring, very meticulous in what he does. And Superman is the warrior that he suits up at when he has to fight the fight. And I love that. I think it's such a smart flip that I don't remember having seen that with Superman. That's done with Batman a lot and other characters. But this was so good, so refreshing. I love the messaging that you're talking about, Alex. So, very good. This now puts it up there with the other Ultimates as all being amazing.
You mean other Absolutes?
Absolutes, yes.
First off, sick cover, bro. I mean, this is sets a fantastic tone. The art in this is an absolute blast. I'm having such a fun time with this. And the badass line, too, where she's got the giant gun and she's like, I'm going to get your dad
back.
That
was a great panel.
Great.
Get hype. And also the bad guy who's like, it's a lava gun. Ah! Oh, shit. Like, this is awesome. It is a little tough where it's jumping around a little bit in time, where it's like I'm getting hype in one section and then it kind of moves on, but I'm complaining because I'm having a blast. So, it's hard to,
that's the best description of you and your reactions to things I've ever heard, Pete. Complaining because I'm having a blast.
Yeah, I mean, I want more, you know what I mean? And then it moves on, and it's like, oh, but I still want a little bit, so I think that's a good...
This is very much positively decompressed storytelling in terms of him taking the time, the team taking the time to really flesh out the story and figure out these characters.
Yeah, this is team time. This is straight up team time. Yeah.
2025 is team time. Let me ask you a question, and this is a spoiler for the last page. that we don't know, and I'm asking a speculative question to you two. The last page is someone named M. Kent in an assisted living home, probably a Martha, you know, a popular name in the DC universe.
Could be.
Now, if do we think that Superman's parents, Kryptonian parents, are going to be alive? Is Jason Aaron, here's my theory, is Jason Aaron combining the Kents and the L's and making them the same people and having them live on Earth and just be also undercover?
No, I'll throw this out at you. I think Superman crashed into the Kent's house, and based on her reaction, they think he is an angel that has come down from heaven. So I think he's going to have a relationship with them, but it's going to be a different relationship because they didn't raise him. He was already a teenager by the time he encountered them. Whether Jor-El and Lara are still alive, though, that's an interesting question that I'm sure we will continue to explore as this continues.
Yeah, I agree with Alex. I think he's a raisin, and you know, pretty soon he's going to be joined by his buddies, and they're going to do a sweet kind of dance number, and I'm pumped. You know what I mean? California what? Raisin styles.
Where did that come from? What did I say?
You said raisin, and I just had some fun with it.
He heard it through the grapevine, Alex.
Yeah.
Great.
From technically, you said raise him, but I heard raisin, so.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
But that, as long as you heard it.
Yeah, yeah, you can make meatballs with raisins if you want. I wouldn't recommend it.
Some of us are more hungry than others.
Fair enough.
I love being hungry for raisins. I'm so hungry. Can I have a handful of raisins?
Yeah, man.
Sorry, I'm six and having an awful snack.
How dare you? Come on, it's a lot.
Well, you're going to bat for raisins? That's right. One of the most hated items. Raisins.
Yeah, haters going to hate, man.
You like raisins? Jeez, Pete, come on.
I was eating some earlier.
No. You are having a handful of raisins on the reg? Like, yeah, you're buying boxes of raisins?
Yeah, man.
What size? Man. Are you getting the little lunchbox version, or are you getting a big box?
I get the big discount bag, bro. Just fucking a handful of raisins. You know what I mean?
That's awesome. I mean, your bowels must be rocking it. So shouts to you for that. But otherwise, disgusting.
I don't want to get involved. All right, why don't we talk about Deadpool, Wolverine, number one, Marvel. Written by Benjamin Percy, art by Joshua Cassara. Pete, I'm about to say something, but I want you to bear with me for a second, okay?
Wow.
I was not looking forward to this issue. I begrudgingly read it or opened it up because I felt like, yeah, sure, there was a Deadpool and Wolverine movie. We're doing this 6 months later. We're getting this book. Not even spinning off of it, but like clearly trying to cash in very, very late in classic comic book schedule form. Beyond the fact that, like, I don't even think it's special to take these two characters and put them together in comic book form. It was special on screen because we hadn't seen it before. It's not special in comic books. I see it like almost every month it happens.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, fine. I'll read this. I like Benjamin Percy. I like Joshua Cassara. I thought this was great. And I'm super psyched for the second issue. And the reason is, not only did he give you what you expect from a Deadpool and Wolverine title, but he gave you way more beyond that. Just to spoil something, like if you could, in your head, write what a Deadpool Wolverine book is going to be, it's a secret from back in time from Weapon X, right? Like, you know that going in here. There is a new riff that I haven't really seen before that changes the relationship with Deadpool and Wolverine. Great villain reveal at the end that I was all in on. I'm very excited.
Something we had talked about on last week's stack, Alex, me and you, remember?
Yes.
Glad we got it so quickly. I'm going to give this, I agree with you. I really enjoyed this. I was also sort of like, okay, what are we doing here? But this took me back to, I mean, there's been a lot of great creators on Deadpool. This reminded me of Joe Kelly Deadpool, sort of the Deadpool run that made Deadpool and ascended him to popularity. Yes, tiny applause. Sounds like a golf clap. I like a pulled back Deadpool that isn't just so bonkers all the time, and that's what we get here. Wolverine has a ton of play here. It's not just about them being nasty to each other. It feels necessary. I really enjoyed this.
Well, first off, give it up for Justin's street cred. Just a shout out to Justin himself there. I feel like, I agree with you. Joe Kelly really launched Deadpool, and Daniel Way brought it to a whole nother level, kept the popularity going. I had a great sense of humor with it. I think that I was excited for this.
Gail Simone?
Yeah, also another great. You know what I mean?
The Dukes?
The Dukes? Dukes brought it to a whole nother level. But even the guy who's been on the show a bunch, who is a fan of the show and a New York comic, did a great job with Deadpool.
Rob Liefeld? Have you heard of him?
No, never heard of him.
Okay. All right.
Anyways, I was excited for this, unlike the two of Utes, and I felt like this did a great job of delivering. You know what you're going to hopefully get with this, and this was a blast and fun kind of, we find them where we find them. And, of course, Deadpool's fucking up a funeral because he's got that dark sense of humor. You know what I mean? So, yeah, this was a blast, and the art was great. I was a little nervous about this team because they take big swings, and they fucked up Beast real bad. So I was nervous in the service, but I gave it an open chance, and I was glad that I did.
Wow, I can't believe a Deadpool Wolverine book hit for you, Pete. That's great news.
Yeah. I hate all three bangers.
A rare trifecta. We never, all three of us, like it.
Well, I think we've done it twice in the stack so far, but you know.
We're like a bunch of raisins in a box. Two-Face number two from DC Comics.
More like raisins.
Sure. Two-Face number two from DC Comics, written by Christian Ward, art by Fabio Veras. We are following Harvey Dent, specifically, has locked away the Two-Face personality in a mental prison. He is working as a criminal lawyer for an underground court. And in this issue, he's overseeing the divorce proceedings of two members of the Royal Flush Gang. Meanwhile, there is a mystery involving a new villain going into the background. I love the first issue of this book, and I was really impressed with the second one as well, because for two reasons. One, same artistic quality. I think particularly the mental prison, the way that Fabio Veras is building it, is really gorgeous. I meant to write down the colorist, and I did not, but the colors are beautiful in this book.
Such a great tone.
The fact that Christian Ward is balancing so much and making it feel balanced, that we're getting a procedural element every issue along with the overarching story and Harvey versus Two-Face. Very impressive, very well done.
Colors by Ivan Placencia.
Thank you.
Shout out.
I mean, you said it in your recap, Alex, but there is so much going on in this book that is just like an accepted reality. You got mind prison that we spend a lot of time.
Which is one of the hardest prisons.
Yeah. It's hard to break in, hard to break out.
Yep.
We've got underground court, which is also called a church, where they're getting a divorce from the Royal Flush Gang, most overused henchman in the book.
How dare you.
Great to see him here.
How
and it gets
you.
Broken up by their robot son, who's mad. It's like, yo.
That's what? Families, There's, bro.
Hey, that's families. There's not, we're introducing a new character, not a single sight of Batman here. Happy about it.
Yeah, who needs him?
Who needs him? This is really fun. We get the introduction of a lot of other characters at the very end here. The way that they're able to balance this book is amazing.
Yeah, just to kind of echo what people are saying here, I just really love the world that this book creates. It's very unique to Two-Face in such a fantastic way. It really feels like the writer had a unique idea for Two-Face and then got it greenlit and really executing. The team that is coloring this and setting up this world, really, this is just really well-perceived idea, well-executed. And it's a blast. I'm having a blast with this.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sam Wilson, Captain America, number one from Marvel, written by Greg Pak and Evan Narcisse, art by Eder Messias and Valentin Delandro. We are getting a story of Sam first starting out at a cookout, hanging out with a bunch of friends and co-workers and things like that before he gets sucked into a new conflict involving some floating cities and a Red Hulk. Not the Red Hulk, but a Red Hulk.
So many Red Hulks.
And a overarching conspiracy that's going on. What'd you guys think about this one?
Why are there so many generals that are also Red Hulks?
You get to a certain level. I mean, in the U.S. Army, like, there's general, there's four-star general, and then there's Red Hulk general. It's sort of like highest level you can get to.
Yeah.
What an upgrade. And what do you think the operating budget for a full-on floating city is?
Oof.
You think that's cost-effective to move? Like, what's an apartment in the floating city going for?
I'd be scared of falling off every day. That would not be my God. Thing. I'm scared of falling off in my regular non-floating.
Yeah, because, Alex, you're a flat earther, as you want to admit.
Exactly. I'm not going outside. I'm not taking a walk down the street. What if I reach the end?
Oh, man, yeah, where the sidewalk ends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That book is a horror show.
Oh, come on, man.
That very real travel guide to the flat earth. That's what I call it.
Hey, I got a sister for sale. Anyways, I think that this is a real kick in the pants. It's fun. It's it's nice to see, Sam at the cookout with all his friends and, chilling and then going on an adventure. I think this is just great. We get a lot of different kind of ideas brewing, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen in the next issue.
Good cast of characters. There are some things that I'm like, I see why a Red Hulk is in this book, but it does feel like they're maybe going to come at it from a slightly different way, and it's not just servicing this movie that's coming out. I trust Greg Pak to bring us a good story, despite the fact that this does feel like it's purposefully timed.
Batman 156 from DC Comics, written by Chip Zdarsky, art by Tony S. Daniel. Last issue, Batman figured out that the Riddler was behind Jim Gordon's murder of the mayor of Gotham City using Mad Hatter tech. And now we get a full-on action issue as he comes directly for the Riddler, with the Court of Owls getting in the way. Very big action in this issue. Really well drawn by Tony S. Daniel. Very intense, but lots of fun.
Yeah, agreed. This is a blast. It's nice to see Batman, starting to kick some butt here. And this is a sick cover that we're looking at. And this is the classic old Batman starting to figure some stuff out, making some moves. Very exciting. I felt like it worked a little hard with the villain reveal at the end, but I'm still on board. I'm still having a blast with this. So, this is cool. Great team on this. Yeah, man, Batman, you've heard of it.
Yeah, this Perkins of a comic book is excellent. Chip Zdarsky does a great job of having an information-heavy issue, the last two, and then breaking it up with a huge action issue here. Yeah. How do you feel about Commissioner Gordon just, like, throwing on a utility belt and just knowing what's up?
I mean,
He was Batman. He was Batman for a while, so...
Yeah, bro.
And he had the same belt configuration?
I mean, maybe he switched around some of the little pouches, but...
Do you think he's got labels sharpied on top? So
no, when he hands them the belt, it was off panel. You didn't see it. He said something like yellow sequence or green sequence. So he knows where's what. You know what I mean? He gave him the
green sequence. He said,
"Well, there's different sequences of pouch that he rotates, so that way somebody steals his pouch.
Everybody knows. You don't need to explain yourself to Justin. Everybody knows what a pouch sequence is. Okay?
Thank you, Alex. Yeah,
and you got to rotate your pouches so the villains don't get ahead of you.
Exactly. Once they start to know where the smoke bombs are, you're in trouble. You know what I mean?
Hey, Batman, Robin here. Feels a little intentionally confusing to rotate your pouches.
I will say, this happens with some regularity, but I love the villain idea, particularly with the Riddler, that he's like, yeah, I did build up this big company that will allow me to go straight, but it's much more fun to do riddles.
I don't know.
I love that as a character trait. It's very fun when he gets back to that point and he's like, nah, gotta blow it all up. Here we go. Riddle time.
Good stuff. We've made so much of Riddler in the past few years. Like, wow, he's so cool. He's so smart. But he's a dork. He's just the biggest dork of a villain. The fact that he's like, ha-ha, I have another riddle for you. And Batman's like, I already solved it, idiot. Here's my fist. Riddle me this, punch. It's good.
Best and how comeback. Much do you talk about this on your podcast, your John Ridley podcast, by the way?
A lot of people are like, where's the Riddler talking? It's not a riddle podcast. It's Riddler. Riddly me this. And it's an unfortunate.
That's
it's
a little confusing.
I shouldn't have named it that. Have named it that.
I feel like it's a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
Cable, Love and Chrome, number one for Marvel, written by David Papoose, art by Mike Henderson. We got a little bit of a tease of this in Time Slide, number one, but here we're getting a new status quo, at least for this miniseries with Cable, where he is stuck in a yet another apocalyptic future, maybe strike it up a little love per the title, and dealing with his virus, his...
techno-organic virus?
Techno-organic, yeah. Thank you.
Is that the word you're looking for?
Yeah, I've only read a couple of comics, so I'm not really
respect the robot overlords, bro. Come
I wanted to say telekinetic virus, but that's not what it is. Anyway, this TO virus is raging out of control, or about to. I thought this was a lot of fun. It really nails Cable's voice, and it gives you what you want, which is Cable pulling out big guns. You got some good sparks flying with the female character. Fun stuff.
What I like about this is we always get Cable showing up in a bad apocalypse situation, being like, all right, who do I have to shoot now? His TO virus is always a little bit out of hand. His telekinesis is always what he needs to save the day. Guns, guns, guns. His pouch sequencing is sick. He always knows where they're going. Yeah. Another big pouch guy. But the thing that's fresh here is he's genuinely in love, I feel like. Out of nowhere. And I think that's such a great push. It's something we haven't ever seen this purposefully overly hardened character do in a real way. And so this is fun. I'm loving Chrome.
Ah, that's nice. Yeah, the Peepos, man, I like his voice for characters. He's got clean ideas, executes them well. This is just a fun Cable book where it's like, all right, you know, Cable doesn't have enough time. He's being chased by some evil robot throughout time. He's got to get shit done. And, you know, maybe you stop for love along the way. So, yeah, this is just a blast. bigger guns always. And, yeah, this is just feels like a classic Cable run. I'm excited for this.
Sounds like all three of us are going to subscribe to Cable. Moving on to JSA number three from DC Comics, written by Jeff Lemire, art by Diego Olartegui. In this issue, Hawkman is in hell. Literally, he's been taken there as most of the JSA, or at least the older part of the team, has been lost in hell. Meanwhile, the younger part of the team has started to figure things out about who is behind this. So lots going on in this issue. Justin, I know you're a JSA guy, so what'd you think about this?
Yeah, I like this. Jeff Lemire really bringing all of his experience working on Black Hammer to bear in the JSA book. Like, he's just so good at finding unique and interesting plot drive for each of the characters and then switching gears between them at will. And he does that here in a great way. There's a little bit of a reveal on the last page, which I thought was fun. Did a little time for romance here as well. It's a great book.
Time for romance. Yeah, I mean, I can't say enough about the art for this. It's really the look of hell, the feel of it, the intensity.
You hope that's what hell looks like when you get there.
Oh, man, dude. You know what I mean? Fingers crossed. This is what we're getting.
Keep eating raisins, man. Keep eating raisins.
Yeah. I'm putting it off by eating raisins, dude. I'm
he
living
died
a
from
good
a
t- life.
His colon was too strong? Wow. It killed it. It strangled him.
Yeah, but is that's the eighth deadly sin, I believe, is eating raisins.
That's the problem. When your colon gets too jacked, it'll take you out, bro. You gotta be careful.
Dude's got a jacked sphincter.
He died of too jacked a colon.
But yeah, this is a total blast and really delivers, and a fantastic cover that really sets it up nicely.
What if Galactus transformed the Hulk? Number one, a question we've all asked from Marvel Comics, written by Matt Groom, art by Lan Medina. This is the first of five or six, I don't remember which, one-shots that are all about different heroes being transformed by the Hulk, being transformed by Galactus. We don't know yet whether they're all going to be a tied together story like the What If Venom thing, or if they all are actually their own Dunn and One shots. I guess we'll see. But here, per the title, the Hulk becomes the Herald of Galactus. Pete, I know you don't like What If, so Justin, weigh in first, please.
Wow. gear change. I mean, this book's pretty light on story, and I was especially surprised to find that there's four more titles that are going to essentially do the same thing with different characters. So, you know, I like some of the moves in this, but it ended in a way where I was like, surely there's to be continued. Oh, no?
Surely.
It's not that. So, like, this book reminded me of, like, a product tie-in comic that used to be back in the day, or the comic where it was like, if you pay $100, you can be drawn into the comic. because it felt like it was just a little light.
Huh. Well, I feel like, you know, mark this down, because this is the start of the Groom boom, okay? I feel like Groom here has a great idea that's very well executed. We know how shitty Banner's life is and how he struggles with Hulk. What if we made his life even shittier and he had to be the Herald of Galactus? I think that's an interesting idea and very well executed here. And it's kind of sad, but an interesting idea. And I think that's the whole idea of a What If. Also, the art was very nice.
He loves What If.
I like Matt Groom as a writer. And I agree with you, Justin. I thought this was okay. I wonder what the editorial direction here is with these things, per what I was saying about the Venom thing. I don't know exactly what they're going for these What Ifs, because I look at it as like, this is go for broke. Like, tell me the entire story here of What If Galactus transformed the Hulk beginning to end. And that's not what this is. This is a little capsule of that story. There's some good character work and ideas present here. Sort of like a riff on Planet Hulk, but with him being turned into the Herald of Galactus. But I wish it had gone a little farther. Batgirl number 3 from DC Comics, written by Tate Bromble, art by Takeshi Miyazawa. Batgirl is still very reluctantly teaming up with her mother, Lady Shiva. And as she finds out this issue, Lady Shiva is teaming up with the League of Assassins, leading to the nonstop train fight that we see on the cover. That was the real highlight of the issue for me. Very well done. Feels very Nightwing without being artistically derivative. Just that's the sort of thing that they used to do sometimes, that title, over the course of issues. So that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I thought this was the best issue of the series so far, and a very definitional Batgirl comic. Like, this is defined in Cassandra Cain as Batgirl. Yeah. There's a great in the midst of this great artistic sequence and of the train fight, there's great dialogue here and great just language about her pulling the qualities from the other members of the Bat family that make up her sort of philosophy as a crime fighter. Very cool. I also like, we're sort of in her head for a lot of this, seeing how her quote-unquote powers work, her skills work. So that was very cool as well. So I really enjoyed this. This is getting better with each issue, I feel like.
Yeah, this is an absolute blast. You know, a great cover. I love this time with a Batgirl and how she kind of navigates the world. I know Justin hates it when we get into characters' heads, but I really enjoy this.
It's like a mind prison. And,
which is one of the harder prisons. I love the pace, the panel choices, the layouts, great vibe and art feel to it. More of this, please. This is great.
X-Factor number 6 from Marvel, written by Mark Russell, art by Bob Quinn. In this issue, we're dealing with the big death from the last issue, I believe. Maybe it was 2 issues ago? Not 100% sure. Regardless, there's a lot of moving back and forth with the team, with people quitting and other people joining and some reveals. But most importantly, there is still a whole corndog diet thing going on, which is my favorite current running bit in comics.
Wow.
Favorite funny. Bit. Every time I see him eating the corn dog, it's very funny. That's all.
He keeps pulling it out of his suit.
Yeah. They even reference, they're like, where do you keep getting corn dogs from? Good bit.
Maybe that's his power.
Gosh, I hope so.
That's a great power.
Do you guys
have
any other opinions on this book? Or
just
caught up on the corn dog.
Yeah, caught in the cornfield here. But, there were some real twists and turns. I wanted to see who took out Golf Daddy there, because that seemed like super important. But I'm not sure who Golf Daddy was, or if he just died in one panel before we got to
It was Golf McCloud. Daddy. McCloud took him out.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense, because it kind of looked like a cloud. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, thanks. Thanks for talking that out with me.
Another mystery solved. Who's the Riddler over here?
Solid action. You know, this is all right.
I've been liking this series. It feels like Mark Russell's really slow building some bigger things. I hope he continues on the book. The idea that no one's really safe. People keep quitting, dying, moving on. There's a lot of argument here, but at the core of it, and there's a nice twist at the end. I really like the Havoc Polaris relationship stuff in here as well.
Birds of Prey, number 17 from DC Comics, written by Kelly Thompson, art by Sammy Basri. This is finishing up the arc that's found Cassandra Cain, once again, trapped in a facility that is really jacking up not colons, but Amazons, turning them into Bane-style rage monsters that they can control. I thought this was a great conclusion here, and as always, fantastic art on this book from one of Comic Book Club's best books of 2024. Continuing, it's strong at the beginning of 2025.
Shouts.
Yeah.
Self-shouts.
Coming in hot. Yeah, this book doesn't get enough praise. You're right, Alex. It really is just one of these fantastic titles that delivers not only artistically, but really for all these characters. They do such a great job with each of these characters on this team. And, you know, who wouldn't want to just check out the mascara for a little bit? You know what I mean? Just see what happens. You know what I mean?
I like to say see what hoppies personally, but you do you.
People. Oh, weird. That's a weird saying.
That's so 2024, Alex. Yeah. And before,
I'm still putting what hoppies on all my podcasts.
Wow. This is really fun. I mean, we like this book. It feels like it's, it was ready to be, this feels like a, felt like an abrupt end to this arc. It felt like it was like, okay, let's move on. And I'm also ready for it to move on. I thought there were nice character moments here.
Oh, how dare you say that?
But I just feel like we did it. We said it. I mean, it also was like with this and the Batgirl comic coming out in the same week, feels like we're getting a lot of Cassandra Cain in very different places.
So I like the Barda two books is not too much.
Yeah, not as much as Nico Minoru, mind you, who's been animated series and one book, which is crazy to me.
I think I'm pretty clear in saying that two is a lot. That's been my thing.
Sorry, one, say not how many enough. Kids do you have that you're dealing with solo at the moment?
Two. Alex, it's
that's
two.
Crazy.
I'm solo parenting with two kids, and that is a lot. I got two Nikos running around. I got double Captain Atoms flying through here.
Yeah. Which one sounds like is hitting pans with some kind of mallet?
No, that's my dog who's chosen right now to eat loudly right now. He's like, I also have a dog, which is also.
Well, that's like three. Or 2.5,
he's like three. No, it's like three. It's a puppy. Anyway, this comic is very good, but I feel like it was the story feels like it was ready to turn the page, and I'm looking forward to what comes next.
The Avengers, number 22 from Marvel, written by Jed McKay, art by Fareed Karami. The Avengers are trying to deal with whatever the name of the big events that Kang warned them about are not incursion events, time events. I don't know.
Ashen Combine, Alex? Is that
not
what you're
the Ashen Combine? There's some sort of event.
Tribulation events.
Tribulation
Alex.
Events. Thank you. And they figure out how to find out information on one, and it involves a big casino heist. Of course, per the cover, who is there heisting first? Black Cat. And there's a twist in terms of who she's working with, and then another twist beyond that. Justin, you're in the tank. You're a McKay head, and you love Black Cat stuff. How'd you feel about this issue?
Yeah,
shouts to Jed McKay for always finding a way to shoehorn Black Cat into any possible situation. He did it again, and he did it in a way, he sort of backed us into it in a way that I thought was, if you didn't look at this cover, it would have been a fun surprise.
I'll tell you what, we use shoehorns very negatively, but they help you get on shoes, and shoes are the way we walk around.
100%.
I wish there were more horn, but I agree.
You know sorry, what? You wanted to be, sharper or?
No, I just wish you'd make you could blow into a shoehorn.
Toot your own shoehorn.
Yeah, exactly.
So you want to put a thing on your feet and then put it up to your mouth?
That's right.
No wonder you need a strong colon because you're full of germs all the time.
Always be German is what I like to say.
Always be German, like from Germany?
Nope. German, like germs.
Always be German. Schadenfreude from Pete LePage. this book reminded me a lot of back when Hickman was on Avengers. Avengers. Sort of, he was doing these large super stories. But then there were a couple of issues, because he was doing both titles at the same time, if you remember. He would do these departure one-offs where, like, a couple characters would go do a fun little mission. That's what this felt like, so I really liked those issues, and this feels like it's simultaneously being a nice tonal departure while also coming back around to the tribulation events that have been set up for a while.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is I read the cover. I'm a big cover guy, so, like...
You read it?
Yeah, wow. The whole thing. I took it all in. So when they were like, oh, man, we got to pull off a heist, I was like, okay, Black Cat. Yeah, it's going to be Black Cat. Yeah, yeah. So that reveal was a little spoiled. But the other reveal was fun. Interesting setup. Not overly complicated, which I really appreciated. And, some fun character choices. So this is a blast.
This is everybody having everybody meeting all of the characters having and fun us. In here and us. And that has not happened for most of this title, which has been very serious. So I don't care about shoehorning. Bring on the Black Cat, because that's what Jed MacKay is at his best. And I had a very fun time reading this issue.
Also, the art's great.
Poison Ivy, number 29 from DC Comics, written by G. Willow Wilson, art by Masio Takara. After the end of last issue, Poison Ivy found out she could fast travel to Seattle. Wish I could do that. Go get a nice cup of coffee.
Oh, man, come on.
Have a fish thrown at me.
A fish around? That's the best.
Yeah. Anyway, she is trying to find out who is behind the plot that has framed her for something that she would normally like to do, aka be an eco-terrorist. And it turns out it is, in fact, somebody from her past, leading to what I thought was some great demonstration of character growth in this issue, as we've seen, where Poison Ivy starts to fight and then is like, hold on, we don't have to do this. Why don't we talk this out instead? We know this. We know each other. Let's figure out where to go from here and make different choices. And that's the whole MO. That's the whole idea of this book. It comes through the writing. The art is always great. The coloring is great. The lettering is great. Consistently great book.
Yeah, agreed. This is a consistently great book. This is fun. I like the twists and turns with the kind of villain reveal and her handling of it. Justin, it looked like you wanted to say something there.
No, I'm good.
Okay. I think it's interesting, and I'm looking forward to getting to kind of know what's going on a little bit more. But also, it was a kind of a funny moment where Poison Ivy, and spoilers, runs away at the end, but the way the art kind of lined up, it looks like she runs headfirst into a tree, which is kind of weird.
Especially for someone who understands vegetation.
Right.
What a way to go out.
Yeah, maybe it was one of those trees from Nightmare Before Christmas, so she probably went to, like, in the turkey door that takes you to Thanksgiving land or something like that.
When are we going to get that?
Sequel, baby.
What do you think happens when you go under the tree hole that takes you to Arbor Day? Is it just the inside of a tree?
I always go to the Keebler Elf door. You know what I mean? That's my
door. For the cookies?
Yep.
When you meet the elves, are they nice? Is it weird?
No, like, they're super pissed because, you know, usually you just kind of like open their front door and they're just like, can I help you?
Grab their cookies.
You don't even knock? You just steal?
Do you ever go to the raisin tree where the elves make the raisins and sort of reach in there?
Don't play with my emotions. I wish that was real.
Keebler raisins.
There is a raisin. It's grapes. There's a raisin tree. You don't need to wish for that. It's real. Go to one. It's just old grapes.
Imagine? Just
it's
go to one.
Rotten grapes.
Could you imagine? That would be wonderful. X-Force.
Wait, hold on. I have one other thing to say.
You have something to say.
This comic is very good. Extremely consistent. I like the changes happening. When are we going to get back to Killer Cranet, the ultimate ship, from HR?
Killer Croc. I did miss that a little bit this issue, just because Janet from HR is such a fun character. But I don't know. You got to spend time with the character, the main title character here.
You can give me a page of Killer Cranet from HR.
I guess. X-Force number 7 from Marvel, written by Jeffrey Thorne, art by Jim Toe. This issue is focusing in on Betsy Braddock and Rachel Summers and their relationship as our new alchemist villain attacks them in the mindscape. Gotta say, I was very confused by this one. Take it away, guys.
Oh, hey! That feels good.
There's just some deep continuity stuff going on with Rachel and Betsy that I probably missed from not reading the previous iteration of this title. So I definitely felt like I was playing mental catch-up most of the time. I do like the relationship. I thought Jim Toe's art was very good in here. He has a little bit of, like, lightly cartoony style, but it worked very nicely for Rachel and Betsy. So I did like those parts of the book.
It's not, I don't think it's specific continuity from X-Force, but we're getting all of the Rachel Summers continuity happening at once. She's Mama Ascani from, I think that's where Cable ended up for a while in the far future.
Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix.
Yes. She met Slim and Red, the ingenious disguises that Cyclops and Jean Grey have when they're in the far future, raising their son.
Call me
son.
Biclops. I have two eyes. I'm Jean Yellow.
Wow.
Good. Very good. This wasn't as confusing to me. I still think this title does have like some strange, like, who is Tank? What's the deal with Tank? Give us some Tank.
Come on. Tank's fun.
Yeah. I'm ready. This book is being sort of coy and constantly changing with what's happening. Forge is like, I have to keep going. And then they're stuck with this alchemy thing. It feels like there's just competing ideas as opposed to synergistic ideas. But I do like a lot of the ideas that are on the table.
Yeah, I'm a Toehead. Love the art here in this, so very enjoyable. It's nice to hear Zelbatron get lost in the sauce a little bit. That makes me feel a little bit better about myself. So that's great. But also, I was so lost in the sauce when we got the reveal at the end. I was like, what? So,
Yeah, definitely some questions about that. That feels like, without spoiling it, it's shutting down one of the popular fan theories about Tank, but we'll see how that pans out.
In the Tank for Tank.
Yeah.
Let's talk Shazam, number 19 from DC Comics, written by Josie Campbell, art by Dan McDave. This is the closing issue of this arc, as Mr. Mind has been revealed as the villain behind everything, working with the Savannah family to take down the Shazamily. But we're also getting the Captain versus the Commander, aka Billy versus Freddy, in this issue.
Oh man, whose side are you on?
I always really like the character work that Josie Campbell does in this title, and I think that's very much present here. The action is good as well as the emotion. There's a very sweet scene before there's a twist there with Billy and his romantic interest.
Yes.
But without spoiling it outright, I loved the big swing at the end of the issue. I thought that was great. That was absolutely great.
Yeah, this feels like old school comics in a great way. And Shazam is one of those books that has, in its core idea, feels a little like old school. So I think to embrace it the way that this team is doing, I think is really smart. And it's made for this to be a great read.
Yeah, this is fun. This Shazam book is a lot of fun. Artistically, it's a blast. The characters are really fun in this. And, you know, I'm a sucker for Mr. Mind. You know, I think Mr. Mind is a fun villain. And when done well, is a blast. So, yeah, this was checking all the boxes for me. And who doesn't love a nice hug in the sky? You know what I mean? It's adorbs.
Last but not least, let's talk about When I Lay My Vengeance Upon Thee, number one for Boob Studios, written by Gus Moreno, art by Jacob Rebelka. This is following a old off-the-books exorcist who is sort of losing it. He's forced to take on an apprentice by the church. The apprentice has been sent down to work with him because he drowned a baby during baptism, which I'm Jewish. I believe you're not supposed to do that, right? You don't force.
Honestly, I'm not very religious, but it feels like it gets close with a lot of baptisms.
Mm-hmm.
How long do you hang?
You got walk the line. You know what I mean? So it's
is that what Walk the Line is about? I haven't seen the movie yet.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is.
Great. Same thing.
Anyway, some spooky, scary exorcism stuff going on in this book, and I think Rebelka's art really emphasized that. It has a dreamlike, wavy quality to the characters, and there's some very dark, disturbing stuff going on here.
Yeah, trigger warning. This gets kind of dark, but I do really love the art. It's just so creepy in all the right ways. It's like a freaky painting, if you will. It's very impressive. But, you know, you're playing with the idea that we've seen a million times, evil priests doing horrible things. So, yeah, no. But it's very kind of magically amazing looking.
Delicious.
So it's I love it artistically, even though what it's about makes me mad.
I really like the, like you're saying, Alex, the dreamlike darkness of this was, or maybe Pete said it, it was very cool. Like it really took me up with it. I felt like, and it is scary and stressful, but they don't ever pull back from that. So it feels like, a dark ride that I'm willing to take in this year, 2025.
Oh boy.
And that is it for the first stack of 2025. If you'd like to support the show and all the shows we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m.
Sure do.
Facebook and YouTube, come on down. We would love to chat with you about comic books. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comic Book Club on Blue Sky, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok, Threads, and Instagram. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Let's make 2025 like an endless box of raisins that we can never fill up on, you know?
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.